fear is what our world is all about right now. Fear is on the rise in America and in the world at the beginning of 2025. One author said, it is a dementia-like fear that comes upon humankind, almost like the nervous milling around that stirs within the wild beasts in the Serengeti Desert just before predators set them to flight. There are many reasons for this. Terry James writes in his article in Prophecy Line, January 6th, he said, for the masses of humanity in third world regions, such as vast areas of Africa and Asia and other bleak places, such as Christians are experiencing right now today in Syria and in Lebanon, panic is a daily search for the next bite of food and a swallow of untainted water. These suffering souls are not often demonstrative with their fear because their circumstances have denuded them of energy and have robbed them of the ability to know how near to starvation they have come. The world turns a blind eye for the most part to the plight of these emaciated hordes. The group of people who are looking the other way too often include those of us who are watching for the Lord's coming, but yet we're ignoring the plight of these people around the world. Starvation, nonetheless, is one of the sure signs of where this generation stands on God's prophetic timetable. He said there would be famines, there would be earthquakes, there would be wars. At the end of time, we're seeing that come to pass right in front of our eyes, that multitudes of people are caught up in growing famine dramatically forewarns that the black horse of the apocalypse will one day, perhaps soon, ride forth. As Deanna Brown with Freedom Seekers wrote just yesterday, she just got back Friday, I believe, about her attempts to rescue 1,500 persecuted Christians from Iraq and Syria. She wrote this, as we process everything that has happened since January 1st, I wanted to update you all on the trip to Iraq and thank you for your prayers and support. One big setback we faced was that we were not granted permission by the Iraqis to cross into Syria to personally connect with the 1,500 persecuted Syrian Christians. And we have returned to the States this week. These Christians are suffering, even as a new regime takes control of Syria. But growing famine is not the greatest reason for the geometrically progressing worry around this planet. Fear within the civilized world includes more familiar causes. Let me list three or four of them. Iran is on the verge of possessing nuclear weapons. Israel can't and won't let that happen, because they have promised that the first thing they're going to do with those bombs is wipe out Israel. The potential for war, nuclear war, breaking out in the Middle East is not just possible, but likely, considering the realities involved. Perhaps a new president in America will help. We will see. North Korea is a loose cannon that already has nuclear capability. Even China, its chief governor, can't seem to control the North Korean madmen and their threats. How about strange signs in the heavens and in the planet's atmosphere? They're talking about the magnetic pole shifting. The Earth is changing. In the past year, it's just been changing. The currents under the ocean are warming up because of the volcanic action. Strange signs. Consider the recent sudden appearance of the drone swarms. Maybe they're from China. That's what some suspect. Why don't we stop it? Well, what about terrorists? They threaten to blow up things and kill people in every part of the world. They've been doing it in New York and New Orleans and Las Vegas and Southern California. The wildfires are arson related, undoubtedly. And other major cities and their large, dense populations are in the bullseye for attacks by terrorists with possible horrific weapons, including those that are nuclear or biological and chemical, and even fire. The religionofpeace.com, are you familiar with that website? The religionofpeace.com, go there this week sometime. Not today, don't look it up right now. Stay with me here. The religionofpeace.com is telling us how many jihad activities have happened every day, every week, every month, every year in our world. The religion of peace, Islam claims to be, but they're exactly the opposite of that. There have been 39 jihad attacks worldwide in 15 countries since last Sunday. 135 people have been killed. 111 injured. What about the United States of America? The daily experiencing of assaults from within our country, chipping away at individual rights and national sovereignty. The U.S. Constitution is under perpetual assault. Did you see this morning that the governor, what's his name? The one that waltzed right out of the presidential race, that guy, declared that the state of Minnesota will determine what constitutional rights people in Minnesota have and what they don't have. He said that this morning. Oh, really? Well, the U.S. Constitution is under perpetual assault today. With the election of Donald Trump, many have given hope that things will change for the better. I hope so. Congress shrinks from the responsibility to the American people, while there is observably a power grab of unprecedented proportions. Morality plummets, while entertainment madness infects old and young alike with little thought of preserving the Republic of the U.S. Their leadership, their economy, their diplomacy, and most every other category is on the skids. Corporate America has become a sick, dying entity. Fortunately, I think with the election of Donald Trump, the DEI foolishness is being lessened. What's going on in California is exposing some of those policies. Maybe we will see a turnaround this coming year. I hope so. I have a nephew in harm's way in Southern California, and he's asking, why is there no water in the fire hydrants in Southern California? By running up multi-trillion dollar deficits, we are giving away hope for future generations to know the prosperity of past generations of Americans. Terry James writes in his article, "Most fearful of all, from the perspective of those of us who watch the stage being set for biblically prophetic things to come, is the fact that the church as a whole is oblivious to America's dealing treacherously with Israel." Are you aware of all that our current administration has been doing? Most think the church has replaced Israel as the inheritor of God's promises given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Today, much of the church is in total prophetic ignorance. And he says, that church is so fat, so lazy, and lethargic that I almost wonder if she can be lifted up at the rapture, even by the Lord Jesus. Ouch. All of the foregoing, however, does not account in total for the almost tangible fear about the future that people are holding. The one all-encompassing reason for the fear that is driving people to look anxiously at what's ahead is a spirit of Antichrist. The world has cast God aside. This has been happening in the U.S. since 1963. Most of us were born then. I was in grade school. Well, maybe junior high. Junior high, okay. When prayer and Bible reading, meaning Christianity, were suppressed in public schools. Today, the crops sown in that decade are being reaped in the generation that saw American leaders assassinated, the two Kennedy brothers, its economy bankrupted by Jimmy Carter and the Democrats, a war that eventually took 50,000 American lives in Vietnam, and a drug culture developed that continues to plague the nation and Wood County even today. Because Christ is denied, fear terminally infects all of humankind today. It is insanity, born of Christ rejection. It is the development of spiritual dementia in a world of people ripe for God's judgment. God said in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which should not be done. There is an antidote for the madness that infects humanity in these days. It is the Word of God. It is encouraging that the Bible has suddenly become the bestseller again. I hope it's also a best read book this coming year. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, hey, it really isn't that bad. Donald Trump is here. He's riding in on a white horse. Have you seen that picture online of Donald Trump on a white horse? I thought about putting it up here, and then I thought, no, a couple of you will kill me if I do that. I won't point out anybody, but they're mostly sitting in this center section. Why was John Lennon's atheistic anthem, Imagine, sung at Jimmy Carter's funeral? At his request. I thought Jimmy Carter was a Southern Baptist. I thought he taught Sunday school for years. I thought he was involved in Habitat for Humanity. But why sing an atheistic song at his funeral service? One author said, I was surprised, if not shocked, when two A-list celebrities, country singers Garth Brooks and his wife Trisha, took the microphones at the state funeral for Jimmy Carter and began performing Imagine, written by former Beatle John Lennon in 1971. The song is widely described as an atheistic anthem and incredibly is said to be one of the late 39th president's favorite songs. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Ah, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. To me, it sounds like a globalist woke anthem as well. One author, one seminary professor, on the 50th anniversary of the song Imagine, wrote this. It is purposely and powerfully irreligious. From the opening lyric, "Imagine there's no heaven," to the refrain, "And no religion too," Lennon sets out what to many is a clear atheistic message. Not only atheistic, Wikipedia has an entire page devoted to the song. It's the biggest selling single record of Lennon's post-Beatle career and one of the most widely adopted and influential songs of all time. What did Lennon say about that song? He wrote, "Imagine," which says, "Imagine that there is no more religion, no more country, no more politics," is virtually the Communist Manifesto. Even though I'm not particularly a communist and I do not belong to any movement, he told this magazine that was interviewing him, "There is no real communist state in the world. You must realize that. The socialism I speak about is not the same some daft Russian might do or the Chinese might do. That might suit them. Us," speaking of the Britons, "we should have a nice British socialism." Are you aware of what Elon Musk has done this past week in exposing the Islamic rape gangs that are going around Great Britain raping the children? Come on, wake up. It was bad enough again this year when I observed the song "Imagine" performed as the last one of the minutes before the iconic ball drop at Times Square in New York City, heralding the start of this new year. Since 2005, "Imagine" has been the song of choice at that widely broadcast event every December 31st at 11:57 p.m. But now it's been included with prominence in the solemn traditional funeral service of a dead president at Washington, D.C.'s National Cathedral, with an audience that included all four of our living former presidents, including the one that's coming up in his second term, as well as the current occupant of the Oval Office. The singing of "Imagine" at Jimmy Carter's funeral was not an accident. The Brooks and his wife duo performed the same song as former First Lady Rosalynn Carter's funeral was held in November of 2023. "Fear thou not. We have a God who is on the throne. Our world is falling apart, but let's hold it together." YouVersion's top 10 Bible verses for 2024 includes Philippians. Let me just start quickly as I conclude. Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved brethren. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." And then YouVersion's top number one most resourced verse in all of Scripture is verse 6. "Do not be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And the next verse, "The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What is anxiety? Psychologically, let me just define it. I'm taking this from the Taylor Johnson Temperament Analysis. just a simple test that I've given thousands, probably thousands of times, mostly to college students when I was vice president of a college and when I was at Liberty University. To the students, just give them, find out what their personality traits are and what they need to work on. Anxiety is the number one listed out of the nine traits. Nervous to composed. Nervous is hereby defined as tense, high-strung, and apprehensive. That's the way our world is right now. Composed, on the other side, is characterized by a calm, relaxed, tranquil disposition. I remember a young girl coming into my office at Mid-South Bible College, where I was vice president. She came in and she sat down in my office and she was just going like this. And I said, calm down. She said, I'm not uptight. There's nothing wrong with me. I said, stop. You're making me nervous. How do you know if you're nervous or not? Look at your fingernails. This is really simple. Look at your fingernails. Are you chewing them? Have you chewed them down to the nub? If so, you're nervous. Well, there are other ways you can tell. Excessive smoking, excessive eating, excessive drinking, thinking of alcohol, nervous indigestion or loss of appetite, the regular use of drugs or relaxant medications, and mannerisms like nail biting. Composure is where we should be as Christians. I'm not criticizing anybody this morning. I'm just saying we have a wonderful God who wants us to get control of our anxiety with our brains. Composure, on the other hand, is measured by a sense of calmness, serenity, freedom from excessive worry and anxiety, the ability to recover composure quickly after trying circumstances, and the absence of external nervous mannerisms. Nervousness may be associated with faulty adjustments in other areas. It may be a sign of how you were raised and things that happened in childhood or adulthood. A high nervous score may be temporary when it results from immediate stressful circumstances. On the other hand, it may indicate a more persistent, even chronic state of tension. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, get your brain going. Get your prayers going. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds, hearts and minds, emotions and intellect, in Christ Jesus. Warren Wiersbe writes, from the spiritual point of view, worry is wrong thinking and wrong feeling. It's wrong in the mind, it's wrong in the heart. It's worrying about circumstances and people and things. Worry is the greatest thief of joy. It is not enough for us, however, to tell ourselves to quit worrying, because that will never capture the thief. The thief is an inside job. Worry is inside us, and it takes more than good intentions to get the victory. The antidote to worry is the secure mind, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee." When you have a secure mind, the peace of God guards you, and the God of peace will guide you. With that kind of protection, why would we worry? Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the times that you have placed us in. Thank you, Father, for this church. Thank you for protecting us, encouraging our hearts. Thank you for the safety team. Thank you, Father, for your blessing and protection on them as they just simply are aware of what's going on and an effort to protect us. Give parents an awareness of where their children are and what their children are doing, even while they're at church. Father, thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father, for the weeks coming up, the 8 days till inauguration. Oh, but there's a whole 4 years ahead of us. May we not be anxious about it. May we be praying for President-elect Trump. Whether we like him or not, he is our president. May we pray for him. May you bless him. May you use him dramatically to protect Christians, not only in America, but around the world. Father, have mercy on us. We thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness, for your grace. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.